Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we bow before your presence, acknowledging you in all of our ways. We recognize you as the Spirit of Truth, the Teacher, the One who opens blind eyes, that brings revelation knowledge. And Father, we know that without your gift of the Holy Spirit working upon us and without us being in a teachable, receptive mode, we cannot receive from you the things that you have for us. But we've come tonight, according to your word, that if two or more gather together in your name, you're in the midst of them, and you are here to teach us, to lead us into truth, because you have decreed that the truth would set us free, and that we would come to know it and experience it in reality. And we thank you for that. So, Father, tonight we serve notice to the powers of darkness that through the blood of the Lamb and the name of Yeshua, we have rights, and we claim, therefore, immunity from the powers of darkness, from hindering, from taking our understanding, from trying to stop your word in any way from getting into our hearts. We claim your inheritance tonight, Holy Father, that you will lift us up and cause us to be victorious. We know that by faith we are victorious, but Father, we want to see that victory manifested in every area of our lives. So we invoke your name tonight, for you said, whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. So do we believe, and so do we call, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Revelation 4. Reading through the first seven verses. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first, how many of you, now remember, this is the, doesn't tell you, but this is the third heaven. A door was open into the third heaven. How many of you'd like a door to reach into the third heaven or into paradise, and you can just go right up and go right into paradise? How many know that's a good place to be? And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a shofar talking with me, which said, come up hither. And we all need to hear that, don't we? Come up. Some of us are so enmeshed in our problems that we need to come up hither so we can look at them from Father's viewpoint. And he said, I will show you things which must be hereafter. How many of you need to know things that are coming beyond where you are today? Amen. So that you can be encouraged. Why is he going to show you how you're going to end up so you can be frustrated? Come on, I'm going to show you things that are coming so you can be discouraged. It doesn't say that. He said, I want to show you things that are coming and you're going to get excited. How many here need some excitement in their life? Huh?
We're discouraged now. Yeah. Encouraged.
That's right. That's right. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This is the throne room, the Ark of the Covenant. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, which we've commented on as the first and last stone in the breastplate of the high priest. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. That's their resurrection bodies. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Hallelujah. Feast of Pentecost. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of Yahweh. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the middle of the throne, where? In the middle of the throne. How many know that the throne has a middle? What is the middle of anything?
The center.
The center. Right in the center of the throne. Guess what they found? Not only that, not only was it in the center of the throne, but round about the throne there were four Zoe, or Chai in Hebrew, Zoe in Greek, simply translated, most translations have living creature. The word beast is not in the original. It simply are those who were full of divine life. There were four beings, unique beings, that were full of eyes before and behind, which meant that they understood where they'd come from, and they understood where they're going. And the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face as a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now last week we spent the entire study on that verse, verse 7. And we gave you an overview, outline of the lion, the calf, the man, and the eagle. And what we'll do is we'll give you a real fast synopsis of it here so that you can see we have the lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. In Revelation 4:7, there are four complete orders or entities. In Ezekiel 1, it's known as the four faces of the cherubim. And that word is simply zoe in Greek, meaning beings in whom is the fullness of divine life. Now, not only are there the four faces of the cherubim, let's go back to Ezekiel 1:10. Take a look at it again. Ezekiel 1:10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. So we find out that there are four faces. We also found out that there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four colors in the veil of the tabernacle, purple, scarlet, white, and blue. There were four banner tribes, Judah, Ephraim and Manasseh, Reuben, and Dan. They were placed in four positions, east, west, south, and north. And they are the four forms of manifested life. The lion is the king of the beast. The ox is the king of the domestic animals, which is a servant. Man is the king of creation through righteousness. And the eagle is the king of the birds, which soars through truth. And what we have is that if you need to rule and you need to reign in life, you rule by serving others. And you can only serve others by being right with them. And you can never be right with them until you understand the reality of who you are, who they are, and who Father is. And when you understand those four things, you have the essence of victory in your overcoming life. And that is the key to an overcoming life. Now, what I want us to look at is this chart and get it in your spirit, and then I want to show you another chart. Now, what I want you to notice is lion, ox, man, and eagle. And I want you to notice east, west, south, and north, and Judah, Ephraim, Manasseh, Reuben, and Dan, okay, on that chart. Now, I'm going to put up another chart which gives you the positions of what I just said. This is as the tribes were situated in the book of Numbers. Now let's go to the book of Numbers and see what trouble we can get into tonight. How many like to get in trouble? This is the good kind of trouble. This is the good kind of trouble. Numbers, the second chapter. How many know that Numbers is what book of the Bible? Do we get any agreement? Fourth, okay. Fourth book. What's the first book? Which means?
Beginnings.
Second book? Exodus, which means?
The way out.
The way out. The third book?
Leviticus.
Which means?
The law.
From Levi, or the priestly code. And then Numbers is the journey. The journey. Now, unless you know the origin of things, unless you know the way out, unless you understand the method of worship, there is no going forth to victory. Numbers is the book of victory. It is the marching to war, the marching to conquer. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and unto Aaron. Well, I love that verse. I love that verse. Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron. Now, Moses and Aaron were of what tribe? No. Huh?
Levi.
They were children of Levi. And Moses and Aaron were brothers. Moses was the prophet. Aaron was the priest. Right? And it says, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses. Didn't say he wrote a letter. Didn't say he did this in a cloud. It didn't say he did this as a still small voice. Simply said he spoke to Moses. He spoke to Aaron. In the mouth of two or more witnesses, let his word be established. He spoke it. They heard it. There's no way to scramble this message that he said. And here is what he said to them. Hallelujah. You know, I don't understand Bible preachers who can take one word or one verse, of which they have to really find it, find that one word or find that one verse, and you can't hardly find it anywhere else in the Bible, and they'll make a big deal out of it. And then you can come across whole chapters in the Bible, complete chapters, and nobody talks in them at all. And yet every one of these that has complete chapters all talks on the same thing. Isn't that amazing? The whole 4th and 5th chapter of Revelation, the entire 1st and 10th chapter of Ezekiel, the entire 2nd chapter of Numbers, as well as the entire chapter of Exodus 25 and 37, are all on the same subject. Massive amount of chapters on just four things. Let's take a look at them. Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. What is a standard?
Flag.
Flag. Banner. They had flags in those days. We have the American flag, which is the banner for America. And each of these tribes had a banner. And Father said to Moses and Aaron, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. Now, if you don't know what your standard is, and there's only 12 standards, if you don't know what your standard is, how are you going to know what tribe to get into? And if you don't know what tribe you're of, you don't know what your call is, do you? And the Bible tells you you got to know your call, so you got to know what tribe you are. He said, I want every man. Now, we've got the tabernacle built. We've got the anointing with us. We got the office of prophet with us. We got the office of priest with us. We got a high priest with us. We are on our way to overcoming. We are about to enter into the promised land. We are about to succeed as a people and as a nation. And so before we can go, we've already got the warning. Everything's ready. Yahweh's in our midst. Let's go. And Father says, hold it. I got something to say to you. First of all, before we go into battle and conquer the land of Canaan and you get your own nation and everything's beautiful, a land flowing with milk and honey, no more bills, no more debts, no more pressures, no more problems, no more discord. I can handle some of that. Father says, first of all, I want everybody to go find their standard and get by it. How many ever heard the word Yahweh Nisi? We have a banner in our church. It says Yahweh Nisi. What does that mean? Yahweh our banner. He's our banner, isn't he? Everybody better find their banner. With the ensign of their father's house. Ensign meaning the sign or the symbol that represents your tribal call. There are 12 signs. Sounds funny, doesn't it? Far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. Now, on the east side, now I want you to look up there. I want you to look at the tabernacle. Okay? I want you to get the picture so you can really understand the word. Here's the tabernacle. There's the door into the outer court. The Levites would take the lamb or the bullock and they would take it in and they'd offer it on the burnt altar, which is a type of Calvary. They would wash their hands and garments and utensils in the laver, the washing of the water of the word. And these two things were done in the outer court, which has to do with our body in the world. Then we come into the holy place. This is the third room, third section. And here we find three articles of furniture. Number three stands all the way out on this. And then in that there was a veil right here upon which the cherubim of glory were. And then in this little room was the Holy of Holies. And this whole thing faced east. And so Father took the lion and put a banner out here called the lion. and it was on the east side, and Judah was to head the way, so that when they marched through the wilderness, going into the promised land in order to obtain the promise, Judah led the way for the tabernacle, which first of all represented the presence of Yahweh in their midst. The presence of Yahweh is described in his sevenfold covenant names. Yahweh Rapha, I am he who heals. He'll heal anything that's been broken down in your life. Physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, financial healing. He is your Rapha. He's in the midst of you. He is Yahweh Sitzkenu. He is your righteousness. You don't have any. Every time you blow it, you need to get right. You can be wrong with him. You didn't pray enough today. You didn't have a good attitude today. You don't have a good attitude with somebody else. You're not right with them. And we're out. So we need his righteousness. And his righteousness is in our midst. So I'm not going to be condemned for my being out of righteousness. How many like Romans 8:1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Yeshua. Now, the devil will condemn you and you'll condemn you, but he don't condemn you because he understands your problem is not your weakness. Your problem is your lack of faith. He said, I'm in the midst of you to be your righteousness. He is Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh. He is your Jireh. He is your provider. That means he'll make provision. You can't see where you're going and you're saying, I have no idea to know how this thing's going to work out. He's your Jireh. He's in the midst of you. He has covenanted with you in the midst of you to do these things for you. That's your blood-bought birthright inheritance. You have a right to healing. You have a right to things being right. You have a right to having your provisions made for you. You have a right for him to be your banner. You have a right for him to be your shepherd. Woe be unto those who will not use that which they have. I mean, if you had $10,000 in your bank account and you had a measly little $50 debt and you didn't pay that debt because you didn't know you had $10,000 in the bank, that's really foolishness. You could have wrote a check and still had lots of money left over and no debts. Spiritually, that's where you are. Father has given to each of you a bank account that says, I've got enough funds here to meet every one of your needs. All you got to do is learn to go to my bank and cash them. How many know that the bank teller are the angels? Psalms 103:20. Bless ye his angels who excel in strength, for they hearken unto the voice of his word. Your money's in the account. You walk up and say, I need some anointing today. I need some righteousness today. I need some supply today. They look into your account. Oh, okay. They hearken unto the voice of his word as you return that word in prayer. And these angels are designed to be your servants and to go to the bank and get it for you. That's their job. That's their ministry. The banking system, in a way, I grant you it's polluted, it's corrupt, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a factor of truth there. Father has opened a bank account in your name when you accept him. And it's got everything in it you need to get you through this earth, get you through this life. Verse 3, and on the east side towards the rising of the sun shall they of the standard or the banner. Now we have the four banners in our assembly, don't we? We have the lion banner, we have the eagle banner, we have the man banner, we have the ox banner. Same as the four faces of the cherubim. Same as the four groups in the book of Revelation. Now, Father goes through this entire chapter and he tells you how he wants each tribe to be. Who's first? Judah. Now, on Sabbath, we were preaching on Judah in the breastplate of the high priest. Now, you know, I never intended on preaching on the breastplate on Sabbath and preaching on the cherubim of glory on Tuesday and being on the four faces and being on the four stones simultaneously. Now, I had no intention of doing that, but isn't that neat how they dovetail and they come together? So I'm on the four faces on Sabbath, and I'm on the four faces on Tuesday. From two different standpoints, bringing it together in the Word. Judah is first. Who's first? Judah. He's going to be first, and he is to be on the east side. Now, this is not arbitrary. This is absolute. If you're a Judahite, first of all, your position is on the east side. You better know where you're going. That's your job to know that. If you're a Judahite, your job is to be in the first tribe. Now, we found that Judah, on the breastplate of the high priest, was to be in the first stone. Isn't that right? He was to be in the first row and the first stone when we talk about the breastplate of the high priest in Exodus 28. Here, Judah is the first one mentioned in tribal order of warfare. The tribe of Judah goes before the other 11 tribes. Judah is the number one warrior. If you're an Israelite, you are a warrior saint. Every one of you, if you're born again, you were born to be a soldier. That's what you are. No, I didn't get born again to be a soldier. I got born again to phase out. I got born again so I could have peace, not war. Well, guess why Father chose Israel to be a warrior nation? The old customs, the old, most ancient customs were the warrior priests. Pharaoh in Egypt was a warrior priest. The heads of every Indian tribe are warrior priests. The heads of all ancient nations were known as the warrior priests. Where did they get that idea from? They got it right here from Numbers chapter 2. On the east side, towards the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And then it gives their name. Verse 4 gives their number. Verse 5, and those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar and Nethaneel. The son of Zuar shall be captain of the children of Issachar. It gives his number. Verse 7, then the tribe of Zebulun. Now, if we look up here, what do we see? There's Issachar, and there's Zebulun. So we have Judah. These three tribes all have the standard of the lion. Issachar has its own standard, its own flag. Judah has its own flag, and Zebulun has its own flag. But when they go to war, their individual house flags are secondary to the one flag, which means they go forth conquering in the name of the lion. Now, how many know that the name of the lion was the lion of the tribe of Judah? And that Christ came after the order of Judah, Yehuda, praise, and that he was to be the leader of the lion tribe. And we are lions. And we need to understand that. In other words, as we break into the word lion, as we said last week in Amos 3, it said that when a lion roareth, who can but fear? The purpose of a lion is to produce fear. Now, if you're going to be like the lions and you're going to lead the way, that means that when you go into battle, the first thing you must hear is the roar of the battle. And the roar of the lion produces fear. If you don't have fear in your enemy just may not be conquered. Because that's one of the traps that Father built. How many of you have ever had to fight just with one other person and you were scared? Did you notice what fear did to you? Makes you want to back off? Makes you hesitant? Makes you scared? You don't do well under fear. You do not do well at all under fear. In fact, sometimes you just plain freeze under fear. You'll just lay there and get chopped to pieces because you're full of fear. Well, how would you like to be on the winning side and know that every time you speak, your enemies are filled with fear and they tremble? They literally paralyze because of the power that's coming out of you. So the Bible says that when the lion roars, who can but fear? And when Yahweh speaks, who can but prophesy? And he likens that so that the gift of prophecy is the same as the lion. To speak under the anointing, the prophetic word, which is to take your circumstances and find a word that corresponds to your circumstance and speak that word to the circumstance. You are speaking the prophetic word, and that circumstance will cower before your ability. That's how Christ cursed the fig tree. The Bible said he spoke to a fig tree. Stupidest thing I ever saw, talking to a tree. I talk to humans. I even see some of us talk to animals. A little strange talking to animals. Now, men don't talk to animals like women talk to animals. Now, women have a unique way to talk to animals. Men really don't understand how women can talk to animals the way they do. In fact, most men think that women talk to animals nicer than they do to men. But they have a way of talking to animals. You know that an animal can't talk back. How's my baby? Poor little baby. Do you really think that animal can understand that? Every woman says, absolutely. That's right. That's right. That's right. And woe be unto the man that doubts it.
They'll recognize your tone of voice.
That's right.
Even plants.
That's right. They respond to your voice. But then when it comes to the enemy, you say, they ain't going to listen to me. You've already determined that you've lost. And you cower in fear. And the very purpose of this whole thing is to teach you what a lion is. And in every instance in military warfare in this book, Judah was first. The lion was first. And there was a reason. And two other tribes, Issachar and Zebulun, had to take the flag of the lion and march together under that one banner on the east side. We're going to get into that in just a moment. I just want you to get the picture. Then we're going to give the revelation. Verse 9, all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000, 4,000, and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. But the wording is almost identical to the breastplate of the high priest and almost to the wording in Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4. These shall first set forth. In other words, these are the first ones to go. Now, would you say in military order that would be the first rank? Is that what you'd say, first rank? These are the first ones to go. If you were in a war, in fact, if you go down to San Diego and go before any of the naval parades and you sit out and you watch them, you'll see them. They'll say, "Well, there they go by ranks," and their ranks are done for a specific order and for a specific reason. And military always goes into battle by ranks. There's a reason for that. Well, when Father goes to war, he puts them out by ranks too. Now, if you don't know what rank you're in, you're liable to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And if you are, you could be killed because that's not your place. So you need to know where your place is in the battle. Now, it's one thing to find out what your rank is, and some of us are quite rank. Now, besides that, okay, never mind. This, if you was awake. Yes. Poor Cindy. She's got a burden to pray for her pastor. Yeah. Rank, if you look, go to the army side of it and you watch, you know, they've got private and then corporal and they got sergeant and you go all the way up to general. These are called ranks. Now, how many of you know what rank you are? You just probably assume, well, if I'm in an army, I'm probably a private. See, you did. What if you're not? Can you imagine a general in an army that thinks he's a private? He's in bad way. And you know what? The nation that has that as a general is in a bad way with the rest of the nations. I'd hate to think that we are under a leadership of a private who doesn't even know yet how to take orders. You see, you can't give orders till you know how to take them. That's why in order to be a lion, you got to be an ox. You got to go up the ranks. This is why Father lays these things out as teaching aids. These are ranks, and we need to see that. Now, every one of you have a rank in the army of Yahweh. What rank are you? You might think you're private. What if you're not? Then if you're not, if you're of a higher rank, guess what? Are you doing the responsibilities that Father gave you to do in this rank? See, you've got to understand the rank because all of those were ranks. And it says that on the east side, these three tribes were to be first under the banner of the lion. Can you see that? Now, verse 10, on the south side. South side. So what we go from the east, then we go to the south side, right? There's the picture of the man, same as the four faces of the cherubim. There's the man, and there's Reuben. And he's got two other tribes with him, Gad and Simeon. Under Reuben's banner called the banner of man. How many know that the banner of man in the constellations is Aquarius? The water bearer. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit. All the constellations originally were named after the 12 tribes. To give a truth. And somebody came along and decided to take Israel out of it, take Christ out of it, and then you got junk. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies. Now this is an army banner, army rank. Verse 12, those which pitch by him shall be of the tribe of Simeon. Verse 14, then the tribe of Gad. Verse 16, all that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 100,050 and 1,450 throughout their armies, and they shall set forth in the second rank. And this is exactly the way it's worded in the breastplate of the high priest. The first three rows of stone is the first row. The next three rows of stone is the second row. And it's the same tribes in the same order on the breastplate as it is in Numbers 2 in the military gathering around of the soldiers around the Ark of the Covenant, the Tabernacle of Israel. Verse 18. Verse 17. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp as they encamp. Now the Levites were in the midst of the camp. Now the 24 elders in Revelation 4 is a double type of the Levitical priesthood in the days of King David, because there were 24 courses of priestly action going on in the tabernacle at all times. There were 24 courses. And in the days of Christ, there were still 24 courses of the priesthood in the tabernacle. And when John has his revelation, these 24 seats or courses are now round about the throne. Here they are, the Levites in the midst. So shall they set forward every man in his place by their standards. On the west side, verse 18, shall the standard of the camp of Ephraim according to their armies. Now we're on the west side, right here. There's the ox, there's the west side, there's Ephraim, and with Ephraim there's Manasseh and Benjamin, all the children of Rachel. We go down to verse 20, and by him shall be the tribes of Manasseh. Verse 22, then the tribe of Benjamin. Can you see that? I just want you to see in documented order the way the tribes are. This is the same order in which it is given on the breastplate of the high priest. This is the same picture you have in Revelation 21 as you look at the New Jerusalem city, four square. That's four square. Breastplate is four square. The east, west, north, and south, exactly the same. The four faces, exactly the same. And when you get to heaven, everybody's going to be in one of four groups. And every one of you are going to be in one of those four groups. And if you don't know what group you're in, you're messed up. Because if you're supposed to be a lion and you're playing the ox, you're going to be miserable. If you're supposed to be a man and you think you're an eagle, what did we say last Tuesday night? There's nothing worse than eagles who think they're chickens. And you imagine a little baby eagle being birthed among the chickens, and it grows up, it is entirely different than the chicken. It doesn't look like a chicken. It doesn't act like a chicken. But it has the ability to take on chicken characteristics. But it's an eagle. But it doesn't know it's an eagle. And so the chicken, all it does, it grows up, the only language it never heard, eagle language. It doesn't know how eagles talk. It's an eagle. It's got eagle speech vocal cords. But it doesn't know how to speak eagle, because it doesn't have a mother, father, eagle to teach it eagle language. So it learns chicken language. But it's an eagle. So the first thing it learned, now, you know, eagles are supposed to fly, but chickens, they just walk around. You ever notice some Christians kind of like that? They're chicken saints. I found my true calling. That's right. But you're supposed to be an eagle. So I said last week, what you do is you look up and you see Mama Eagle flying overhead and you say, boy, kind of looks like I should be one of them. There's something in me that wants to fly. I don't know why, but I feel like, you know what? Chickens have no desire to fly. They like being behind a cage in a coop. Amen? All they like to do is just squat and lay eggs. So all they just lay eggs. Yeah. And peck at each other. Pecking order. That's right. Pecking order. And that's all that most humans are in this world. Little chickens wrapped up in their little four-square coop, pecking their way through life. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow, and you're going to look at one and you say, boy, you're just exactly what Pastor talked about last night. But don't you say a word unless you can get out of that system. You're supposed to be an eagle. Fly. Meet your mother in the air. Learn to use the wings you were born with. Learn the language of eagles. Learn to fly. Because all of these creatures have wings. Ability to fly into the heavenlies. To live in the heavens. Hallelujah. Verse 24. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,000 and 100 throughout their armies, and they shall go forward in the third rank. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side. Now we go to the north side, and there's Dan on the north side. There's the eagle. There's Dan with two other tribes, Naphtali and Asher. We can see that there, right? Verse 27, and those that encamp by him shall be the tribe of Asher. Verse 29, then the tribe of Naphtali. And verse 31, all they that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 100,000 and 50 and 7,600. They shall go hindmost or be last. The eagle saints are to be the last ones in. They have nothing to do with being an eagle. Don't take the word last meaning inferior. That's not what it means. Verse 32. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their host were 600,000 and 3,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel as Yahweh commanded Moses. And the children of Israel did according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward everyone after their families according to the house of their fathers. Now let me just give you an interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. I haven't heard too many preachers. In fact, I've never heard a preacher preach on this. I've heard him quote the verse, but I've never heard him preach on it. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start with verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, Numbers chapter 3 talks about first fruits. It's interesting. Verse 21. For since by man came death, or by Adam came death, by Adam, or second Adam, came also the resurrection of the dead. In other words, one man got us to die, and another man comes around and brings us back to life again, which means you're brought to an end, and now you get to start over. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, do you see a period there? Did you know it's not in the original? And if you look at the next word, you'll understand why. It's part of the same. The next phrase is part of the same sentence. But every man in his own, what do you read? Order. Or, anybody got a footnote in their Bible? What's another word that should be there?
Rank.
Same word in Numbers 2.
Not in there, I just forget.
Well, okay, but there are some Bibles that have it. Do we need to turn the tape over? Or is it time? Okay. So let's look at this again, verse 22 and 23 together. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Or in his own rank. You know there are ranks to the resurrection?
That's right.
Not everybody's going to go in the same rank. Isn't that interesting? Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming, then cometh the end or the completion, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, the last enemy is what?
Death.
Is it going to be destroyed?
Yes.
It's going to be put under his feet. Now, who are the feet? Yeah, the foot is part of the body. Yeah, but the body is all, each of us, like Paul says, is everybody an eye? I hope not. Is everybody an ear? Is everybody a tongue? Is everybody a hand? No, each of us has individual parts in this body. You have your part in this body. But how many knows that the body gets its message from the head? And that it goes down in order or in ranks? The foot is the last in rank order of resurrection or anything else. And the last tribe to go is Dan, so Dan's going to be the foot, isn't he? Okay, you have that?
Eagles are going to be defeated.
Yeah, eagles are going to be defeated. They're not going to be defeated. They're going to be defeated. They're going to do the defeating. How? Okay. Now, let's take a look back in Revelation chapter 4. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts or four living creatures. Verse 7. And the first was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third as a man, and the fourth like an eagle. Four ranks. Four banners. Now, Revelation means what? Revelation. It's a revealing. But it's not revealing something that had not been given before, but there was a veil. I saw the chart, but it's just a chart. It doesn't make sense. Now he's trying to put some flesh and blood on it so that we in this last dispensation, in this last age, can know who we are. Every one of you need to read the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'll wager your bet, without any feelings at all, as you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to notice that one of those Gospels stands out more to you than the other three. And as that Gospel stands out, there's going to be stories in that Gospel that mean more to you than the stories in the other Gospels. It just something seems to come home to you. You'll find out that if you are of the order of lions, you will enjoy Matthew above the rest. But if you're an eagle, you're going to love John. We need to put these things together. There are ranks. The lion rank will go first. The ox rank second. The man rank third. The eagle rank fourth. Now, however, when this rank goes, what I want you to understand is that the 24 elders and the four living creatures in chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation are already in their glorified bodies before Revelation 6 through 19. Now, we read that they're sitting on thrones around about the throne and sitting on the throne, right? But every one of these 24 elders and every one of these four living creatures are on thrones, right or wrong? All right? Now, we mentioned this before, but let's take a look at it again to emphasize it. Let's go to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues, stood before the throne. Now, are they standing or sitting? Standing. A multitude. How many people were in this multitude?
144,000.
Nope.
No man could number it.
No man could number. It's bigger than 144,000. Can you see that? They're not sitting on thrones. They're standing in relationship to what? Before the throne. Can you see that? They're before the throne. Which means this group stands behind the 24 elders. There are ranks. Can you see that? They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, that's resurrection bodies, but they don't have crowns of gold on their head, they just have palms in their hands, which are Feast of Tabernacle palm branches signifying victory.
Well, at least I got here.
And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our Yahweh, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels, what?
Stood.
Are they on thrones? No. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation." They came where? Great tribulation. Now, are the 24 elders and the living creatures, do they go into great tribulation?
No.
No. But now these came out of great tribulation, so evidently they're in another rank, aren't they? They go at a different time. Can you see that? They have washed their robes and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of Yahweh, and they, what?
Serve
Him. Not rule with Him. Serve Him day and night in His temple. They are not part of the temple. But the overcomers in Revelation 3 are to be part of the temple. Can you see that distinction? He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Look at verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. Now, they're already in heaven. They're already in heaven. They're not on this earth. They're not in sin. They're not dying. There's no more devil. But they still got to be led to the fountains of waters. But the Bible says that the four living creatures live in the source of all the waters, and that water flows out of them. And that's other scriptures we'll give you in a short time. And Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, how many know that there's going to be a lot of crying when you get to heaven? Most people think, boy, I got here. They're going to shout. You ain't going to shout when you get to heaven. Unless you are of the Zoe class or the 24 elder class. The rest are going to be some tears. Because you know what? They could have all been in that class. You all had the ability to be a lion, an ox, a man, or an eagle. You had that ability and you goofed. Now, right away when I say that, two things happen. One, the devil comes and starts beating some of you up. Well, that shows you ain't going to be there. Well, that's a lying spirit. Don't let that thing eat you alive. Yeah, it wasn't easy. Because I used to sit where you were, hear the same thing, think the same thing. That's why I know. So we want to make sure of our calling because we don't want to have a naked entrance. I can't think of the scripture. One of you might look it up, but I know it's in Peter. It's either 1 Peter or 2 Peter. And I think it's in the first chapter, but it does talk about we're going to have an entrance into His presence, but some of us are going to be naked. It's probably, it must be 2 Peter. Let's see if we can find that real fast. Yes, here it is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our sovereign and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach." There is an abundant entrance, but what happens if you don't have an abundant entrance? You're going to come in on the other end of the stick. Now, do you realize that when you are translated, you're going to go with a whole bunch of goodies with you, or you're going to be standing there naked, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3. You're going to be saved as by fire, because your flesh, your wood, hay, and stubble is going to fall off. Everything you did. See, everything you do is cataloged into six categories. It's either gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Everything you do, every word you say is at some point adding up to one of those. And it's just a matter of just pure numbers. And when you go through the fire, which is the quickening, the upscene, the upbeat, some call it the rapture, others call it the resurrection. It's just going through the fire. Your body's being raised up. And as you go through the fire, there's this six qualifications, and whichever you have the most of is what's left. That's what's there. And if you had wood, hay, and stubble, guess what fire does to wood, hay, and stubble? Burns it up. Ain't nothing left. Well, if that's all you are wearing and the wood, hay, and stubble is burned up, what's left? You're kind of naked, ain't you? Now, if you gold and you go through the fire, all fire does to gold, doesn't destroy it, doesn't burn it, doesn't hurt it, it just makes it glow more. So you're going to shine with gold. Now, if you understand that, that's why if you do a study of gold all through the Bible, which we've been doing for several years, this will start to make sense. Because last week, what did we read to you? The cherubim, we closed last Tuesday night with Exodus 37, where the cherubim were made of solid gold. The lion, the ox, the man, the eagle are solid gold. No silver, no precious stones. No wood, no hay, no stubble. Where are they? On the throne and in the throne and sitting around the throne. That's the gold, saints. That's the first rank to go. Go for the gold. That's where the Olympics came from. Olympics were originally started by Israelites anyway. Mount Olympia was made after the Garden of Eden. The story of the gods on the mountaintop. Story of Israel. That's another story. How many know that in the occult world there is what is called alchemy? Well, I'm going to get in trouble now. Oh, it's occult, demonic, devilish teachings. I could have fun right now, but I'm not going to. Alchemy is simply the spiritual quest to take your base nature and turn it into the very love of your heavenly Father. How do you take wood, hay, and stubble and convert it to gold? That's all alchemy was. As it is to chemistry, so it is to your nature. How do you take your fallen flesh nature and bring it under the rule to where all of a sudden your wood, hay, and stubble is consumed while you... Now let me tell you something. If you don't get rid of your wood, hay, and stubble through the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is really for. Remember what the Savior said? I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he said, I'm going to pour... Yeah, and Joel, the prophet, he said, I'm going to pour my Spirit on what? Flesh. I'm going to pour the fire of the Spirit on your wood, hay, and stubble. And if you let it burn up your wood, hay, and stubble right now, when you get up there, that's just going to be gold. But if you don't get rid of your wood, hay, and stubble while you're here, and then you die and then go in the resurrection, or you go up before you die, the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be consumed anyway. And all of a sudden, you didn't have anything to put on. See, so you have to take heed how you build on your foundation, which is your salvation. And so you need to build gold. Now the cherubim are all gold. So it is possible to live in His love, isn't it? It's possible to live in His power. It is possible. Now Satan knows that. He knows he can't get you to hell. He knows he can't defeat you, but he makes you think that he can. So he gets you discouraged, so you settle down and settle for wood, hay, and stubble. But when you find out that all he can do is keep you from the gold, you're going to have a different way of looking at your life. My goal is to convert my circumstances into gold. And when you look at the New Jerusalem city, what do you have? The inner city is pure gold. The temple is pure gold. The precious stones are the walls. And there's people that live outside of the city, right or wrong. Them are the people that he says, if you have an entrance into the kingdom, some people are going to live out in the outer part of the kingdom. Now, they got saved. They didn't go to hell. They got the resurrection bodies, but they ain't going to live in his presence. I don't know about you, but Paul said, I am striving for the high calling. This is the highest calling in Christianity that you can go for. It's going for the gold. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you don't have the same quest in you that an Olympic individual has, He practices minimum 6 hours a day, 6 days a week for 3 years just to get into the Olympics. And that's just for a piece of green chlorophyll you wear on your head. Just for the gold. You ever wonder where they got the idea of going for the gold? Got it from the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all stand and appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How many times have you heard that verse? That isn't what it says. We must all stand and be made manifested before the Bema seat. The Bema seat was the judge's seat who gave out the gold or the silver or the stones based upon who came up first, second, or third. Now, isn't it amazing? There's only three winners: gold, silver, precious stones. To this day in the Olympics, there's only class one, class two, or class three. The rest are not coming up. That's called the Bema seat. You look at any Olympics today, you looked at it in his day when Paul wrote this, he was concerning the Roman games, the Greek games. The Bema seat is where the judges stood, and they didn't count your moral character. They were looking at the overall life characteristics. And when you could bring yourself under discipline to where you could do the race that is set before you. And so Paul writes to the Hebrews, run the race that is set before you. You don't even know there's nothing worse than a man who's in a race and doesn't know it. And friends, where's everybody going? Hey, we're in a race, man. We got to go. Well, we're in what race? Why is everybody running? Why is everybody in a hurry? Why is everybody so concerned? Why do we have to go to church? Why does Pastor preach so long? I didn't know there was a race. What race are we talking about? White race? Black race? No, that's the wrong race. What race are we talking about? We're supposed to run for the gold. My job, I am a gold decathlon. My job is to make you all gold. So I'm going to do my best to beat the wood, hay, wood, stubble out of you. I can put it in another language, but I thought I would clean up the act. You may not understand this. This is heavy stuff, see. You tell somebody, I'm going to kick the hell out of you. You know, what you're really saying is, I'm going to kick the wood, hay, and stubble out of you. Because that's all hell is. It's the fire that consumes the wood, the hay, and the stubble. And to those who don't have Christ, guess where they go? They go down where the fire burns the wood, hay, and stubble, but the wood, hay, and stubble don't leave. Now in heaven, it leaves. Whew. Now everybody's got wood, hay, and stubble. So none of you have an excuse that I've got worse flesh than anybody else has got. I have temptation 10 times worse than you do. You don't understand my temptation. Let me tell you something, honey. The same devil, same demons, same flesh, same desires. You ain't had nothing I ain't had. That's why I can't understand why preachers try to be holier than thou. Setting themselves up. Everybody has he's holier than you. He's holier than me. You got to be certain holy standards before you can give vent to the Father. Hogwash. It's by grace are you saved through faith. But then we have a danger, because then it's like, well, good, then I don't have to work for it. But the Bible said that your works determine what rank you're going to be in and what resurrection you're going to be in. Now, maybe some of you want to go through the Great Tribulation. I don't know. Maybe you need to. I don't know.
I'm not going to volunteer.
You can volunteer, but you don't have to. See, you don't have to. The Philadelphian church, the message to the sixth church, the message to the overcomer. I will keep you from the hour that is coming upon all the earth to try them. You ain't going to go into it.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but I think that's good news. There are 7 different groups in the book of Revelation. Only 2 of them get there first. And that's the 24 elders, which is the Melchizedek order, and the 4 living creatures, which are the kings. Now I'm going to give you another revelation, if you can handle it. And then we got to close. which I've given to you before, but some of you may have forgotten, so I'll remind you. In Ephesians 4, I want you to take a look at this. Verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why'd he do that? So they could be big, get names, build big churches, build a name for themselves? No. No.
So we could all sit in a rocking chair.
That's right. You see, these fivefold ministries are the ox. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are servants. What are they here for? Verse 12. Please notice the first thing that these ministry gifts are for. Now, would you believe... Of course, there are times when I have to be limited, but I can operate in all five of those gifts. And sometimes all five of those gifts operate in this service, in one service, and some of you won't even see it. When I bring you a message direct from heaven, as I did last Tuesday night, or partially tonight, I am an apostle unto you. If I speak the prophetic word unto you that deals with certain things you're going through and you are released that week from that trial, I am a prophet unto you. If I deal with the stirring of souls and the salvation of souls, I am an evangelist. When I shepherd you and show my love and concern for you, I'm a shepherd. But when I'm doing what I'm doing right now is I'm teaching. Makes no difference. There are people who are just teachers. There are people who are just pastors. There are people who are just evangelists. And there are people who are just prophets. And there's some who think they're just apostles. And they only go into big churches for big money, which, by the way, is not the call of an apostle. Selah.
Amen.
Verse 12, this is what these five gifts are for, and without these five gifts, you will never be here. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Well, I thought saints were just born perfect. How many of you realized all of a sudden you've been born again, filled with the Spirit, and you're still messed up? Todd's still learning how to drive a truck. Just teasing, brother. Just teasing. Okay. For the perfecting of the saints. You know what I'm for? You think you're going to get perfect without me? Some of you think, well, I'll reach it easier without you than I'm doing it with you. You know, all kind of people, they've left us because they don't understand what my ministry is and what the job is. My job, and you see, that's how Satan drives people crazy. Because if Satan, I can tell when Satan blinds people's eyes because right away they turn against me. The moment somebody turns against me, I know right away they're not going to be perfected. And you watch their life, they're just flim-flam. They're not victorious. I'm not saying I'm the only teacher, I'm not. There are thousands of teachers throughout this land that teach what I teach. But you know what? Almost all the congregations are small. Why? Because Satan doesn't want other people to know these things. Because, you see, we have a calling, and that calling is to make you throne setters. To take you for who you are, where you are, regardless of your past, regardless of your mentality, regardless of your position in life, regardless of who you think you are, simply by the fact that Father has brought you into this assembly and can even hear my voice. Grace has been given unto you to have the highest honor, the highest goal, the highest calling, and you have a right to sit on the very throne of glory that is eternal throughout all the ages. You have that right.
Hallelujah.
That's what you're hearing. And for that, you need to praise Him for it. That's why I'm a gift to you. It's for the perfecting of the saints. Two, for the work of the ministry. Three, for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Until. How long? Till. We all come in the unity of the faith. And it didn't say till we all come into the unity of denominational truth. That's never going to happen on this earth. But unity of the faith is the faith that was once delivered to the saints, which is the message that I'm giving to you. And of the knowledge, ooh, hallelujah, of the Son of Yahweh. Now, that's a phrase in itself that means inheritance. This is birthright language. This is maturity language. In other words, grow up. I can always tell when somebody grows up, they stop throwing up. That's true. Of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh unto a perfect, what? Man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you handle His fullness? Why? Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. Well, did you realize that you'll be a child forever unless you follow these principles? You'll be tossed to and fro, going from pastor to pastor, church to church, looking and searching, not finding. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up where? Into Him in what? All things which is the head, even Christ. You know what that's saying? How many know that we all know that He's the head and we're the body? But this verse is saying right here, some of you are going to leave the body and grow up into the head. That's the gold. That's the gold. That's the throne. Some of you can stay right where you are and be a foot. And some of you can grow up into the head. Now, everyone that is born again, guess what? They come into the body through the feet. Everyone at some point is a foot. Do you get kicked around or get kicked up to your next position? Only Father can promote you. Now, don't you dare, first of all, compare yourself to anyone else, because that's going to get you in trouble. Because some of you will compare yourself to somebody else and say, well, I'm not as high as him, and he's better than me, or she's better than me, and therefore there's no use for me. Wrong. Your only comparison is him. Your only power is the Holy Spirit. Your only quest is that he told you you could and you can. And if you don't, you can blame me, because it's my job to get you there. That's a pretty cush deal. You don't even have to pay your tithes here to get me to help you get there. In some churches, you got to pay your tithes to get help. Hello. What are we saying? Let's look at it again in closing. Here's the marching order. I want you to take a look at this sheet. There's Moses. There's Aaron. There's his four sons. There's the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And this all went first. Moses, Aaron, the Ark, and then Judah. The lion, there's the standard of the lion. Here's Judah with Issachar and Zebulun. Okay, hang on now. Are you ready for this? I hope you are. I hope I am. I know it's here somewhere. We'll get it for you. Here we go. All right. We got Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Where's Issachar? Now, Issachar is what? What's his name mean? Reward. How many know if you go with Judah, you learn how to praise, you're going to get a reward? Isn't that right? Now, who else was with Issachar? Zebulun. Let's find Zebulun. Right underneath it. What is it? Abode. Means to dwell. If you learn how to dwell in praise, you're going to get a reward. What is the reward? Gold. Follow the ark. What was this ark? Take a look at it very closely. You'll see that the ark had the cherubim on top of it. That was called the throne of Yahweh. And there's the cherubim with their four faces. And there you have Revelation 4. There you have Revelation 5. There you have Ezekiel 1. There you have Ezekiel 10. There you have Exodus 25. Exodus 37. You have Genesis chapter 3 and many other verses. Now, I know you're not. I've got to put the meat on top of it, or the closing verse, Revelation 5, 9, and 10. No comments. Just read it together so that you can see this. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, no other groups, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, who are the they? The four living creatures and the 24 elders. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And when we get into it, you're going to find out what this book is. You're going to shout when you see what this book is. And those of you that heard me preaching this book before should remember and should already be shouting. But don't do a sneaky on me and ask Leslie to go back and make that tape. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed who? Us to Yahweh by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So these are people who have been redeemed by blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's you, folks. That's you. And you have made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That is Father's picture of those who go for the gold, who realize they're in the Olympics, who realize that I have a race set before me. I need to put on my track shoes of the Holy Ghost. Need to clothe myself in the Word and start to exercise and lose some of the fat of the world and get in shape. Spiritual muscles. The greatest spiritual muscle that any of you could ever flex is the greatest muscle of all, known as love. And how does Father get you to love? He puts somebody that sometimes is unloving around you. It's usually called a husband or a wife or a child. No, that doesn't mean all the time they do that. I mean just once in a while. And I know some of you think it's your workplace. But in your home, there's always somebody to try the gold. Now, once you understand what it's all about, then you don't let the devil deceive you anymore. You realize that you're about to be made. See, because the moment you hear the message, Father has qualified you. Did you hear that? If you've heard the message, you're qualified for it. If you haven't heard the message, you can't grow, because faith comes by hearing the Word, which means you have no faith for gold until you've heard the gold story. And we'll start here next week as we break down the gold and go deeper into the four faces of the cherubim. Amen. Father, we receive your word anointed and blessed tonight to our hearts, that we realize that we're in a war. We are marching unto Zion. We are leaving the wilderness. We are going into the promised land. We are stepping on our enemies, cutting off the heads and necks of demons. We are destroying the power of the enemy that for so long has kept us from our inheritance. And so, Father, tonight, let us as your people be thrilled anew to realize that you've called us into a new walk, a new direction, a new call, that we've been made in your image to reflect you, to speak like you, to live like you, and to glorify your name upon this earth, that the heathen may know there is an Elohim who is almighty and all-powerful, and he lives within his people. So, Father, this week I ask you to pour out your spirit of anointing power upon your people, that they may accomplish the task that you called them to. And once again, stir them for the gold. Let them, Father, be excited anew to realize there are new swimming treasures as we swim in the river of Yahweh, as we exercise the muscles of swimming towards the throne of Yahweh, that we can run the race set before us. Thank you, Father, for your love of having chosen us to the high calling, that we may grow up into him and become in him a ruler, a conqueror, one who sits upon the throne, ruling and reigning over all things. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Hallelujah.